Now, we've kind of walked through some of the things in the life of a sheep, and we know in the shepherd, and we know that David was a shepherd. And when he says this, there's something very specific about it, because it was very common that the shepherd would actually anoint the head of the sheep. And I want to give you three different things that what I learned that the shepherd did in the anointing of the head of a sheep. And the first one that I began to study about and learn about, and why that a shepherd would actually anoint the head of a sheep, was because they were tormented by pests. Now, if you stop and think about it for just a minute, everyone loves to be cooking Thanksgiving dinner and leave the screen door open on a warm day and let the flies in. I've got a mother-in-law that if she sees a fly, she goes absolutely berserk. She starts telling you what it does when it lands and all the mess and all the disease. And, you know, I'm just, it's serious to her. No flies in the house. But, you know, if you've got flies and you've got sheep and no flies are buzzing around no sheep's head, you got a problem. There are a lot of different kind of flies that actually create problems for sheep. Here's just a few. You got warble flies, bot flies, heel flies, and the real bad one is called a nose fly or a nasal fly. Then you have deer flies, black flies, mosquitoes, gnats, and of course there are many other winged parasites that create problems. But there was one in particular, the nasal fly, that would actually swarm around a sheep's head, and it was relentless. It would not stop. It would torment those sheep until they just absolutely were driven crazy, because what the nasal fly attempted to do was land on the soft mucus of the sheep's nose and lay its eggs. And when it laid its eggs and they hatched into little larvae, it hatched into little bitty small teeny tiny worms. And those worms would bore their way up into the sheep's nose and into its nasal cavity, and they would stay inside the sheep's nose until they hatched. And when they lived inside the sheep's nose, it would actually create infection, so much so that sometimes sheep could be driven blind. They could go blind from the infection, but they would sometimes even go crazy from being tormented by these worms in their nose. And what I read about it, it said that they would burrow their head in the ground, they would rub their head on trees, they would run into trees, they would beat their heads on anything that they could find trying to get relief. Sometimes it said they would even run off in a stupor, and some have even run to their death off cliffs trying to get away from the flies or the torment. And the only thing that would really help is that the shepherd would come and he would anoint the head of the sheep with a mixture of oil and sulfur and tar. And he would mix this stuff up and he would rub it on the head of the sheep. And for the first time in however long, the sheep was able to go and graze in peace. Now, could you imagine being tormented? And I don't know if you've ever been tormented by bugs. But I mentioned when we first got into this lesson just a little bit, because I knew this lesson was coming up, but I talked about the gnat line. Some of you know what the gnat line is. Some of you have no idea. Well, here, just a little bit. You go down South Georgia and you get so far and you get below what's called the gnat line, and it's in the summertime, and them little things, they call them no-see-ums, them little black bugs, they'll make you miserable. Okay? I went to Blackbeard Island, which is between Brunswick and Savannah, off the coast of Georgia. It is a national wildlife refuge, two different times. And I went on a bow hunting. It's very primitive. The camping's primitive. Everything you do, we walked 2.5 miles one way in the morning to hunt. I would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Y'all are going to really think I'm crazy. I can't do this anymore, by the way. I'm too old. But I'd take a sack lunch, a cooler, a deer stand on my back, and a bow and arrow, and we'd walk 2.5 miles in the morning before daylight. We'd hunt all day long and hike back at night. And if you killed a deer, they'd come by with a truck and get it, but they wouldn't give you a ride if you broke your leg. And we were on that island, and I got thoroughly introduced to these kind of pests. So I can understand a little bit about it when I begin to read about it, about how miserable that they can make you. And I'll tell you how it was. The first time I went on this hunt, I went in December. And it was December 10th. It wasn't really too bad. I made the decision the second time I went, I was going in October, October 1st. Folks, that was a mistake. I got down there in October, and it was hot. It was burning up hot. But the bugs were so bad, I had to wear a long sleeve shirt. I had on these net gloves, and I had a net over my face. And at lunchtime, when you would eat a bite of your sandwich, you had to do it like this. I'd raise my net up, take a bite, and put it right back down, or they'd be on you, just all over you, just misery. And I was sitting there that first day on the deer stand at the end of the day that evening, and I had to cut the finger out of my glove just so I could shoot my bow. And that's all I had exposed on my body was one finger. And I looked down, and there were 9 mosquitoes lined up on my finger. It looked like iron workers taking a lunch break. And I did that, and it was miserable. Now, you know, I'm smart enough. I had Ben's little 100, and I rubbed it on my hands, and I had bug spray, and I had clothes. But if you think about these sheep for just a minute, the only defense the sheep had was what the shepherd offered them. And when you begin to read through this psalm and you see that the care of the sheep and how the sheep are taken care of, it all depended upon how good the shepherd was. And when David begins to write this and he boldly proclaims, proudly proclaims right from the beginning, the Lord is my shepherd. He says it with pride. He says it with joy because he knows that his shepherd will take care of him. And he says, he anoints my head with oil, and my cup runs over. The second thing that I found in relation to sheep and why they need to have their heads anointed is they had a disease that's called scab. Scab is an irritating and highly contagious disease. It is caused by a minute microscopic parasite that gets on the sheep's head and begins to grow and break out in a rash. It spreads through the flock by direct contact between infected and non-infected animals. Now, in reading about this, I read where there was a caring shepherd. You know, a shepherd that cares for his sheep, he's going to try to make sure that that's not there. But, you know, he said he went and he bought a couple of other sheep from another pasture to add to his to see it grow. And he said, unbeknownst to the shepherd, he said there was some scab on the head of a couple of these sheep. He said, you know, one or two of them had it. It wasn't long until it was spreading through the whole herd. He said he had to take and actually put in a dipping tank. And he mixed up a mixture of olive oil, sulfur, and spices is what it took to anoint the sheep. And he said it would actually take the entire sheep and dunk it down in the tank. And he said I would have to grab its head and force it under. So the whole sheep got dipped. And that was the only thing that would actually stop this parasite or this disease from spreading through the entire herd of sheep. But it took something. It took the shepherd recognizing the problem and then being willing to go to the expense and the time, the trouble, whatever it took, to be able to take care of and to care for the sheep. You know, my kids, they often, Daddy, I want a dog. You know my answer? You take care of the dog? Are you going to take care of the dog? Daddy's too busy to take care of the dog. Mad to help you take care of the dog. But have you ever had an animal to take care of and you look at it and if you're going to really do that animal right, it takes time, doesn't it? You got to take them out and you got to spend time with them. You got to keep them clean. You got to make sure that they're healthy. You got to make sure that they have what they need. And as I look at this scripture and I see when David is talking about thou anointest my head with oil, he's recognizing that the shepherd that he has the ability of seeing his need and coming to him when he's in that need and giving him what he needs. Another reason I saw where the head of the sheep was anointed was that during the fall, toward the end of the summer, the sheep, the male sheep, their neck begins to swell. And they begin to fight. And what they do, now, you know, sheep don't have big horns like a billy goat or a ram or a bull. But they'll just run and butt their heads together. And the shepherd that really cares for his sheep, this is how he said he dealt with it. He said, see them begin in the fall to start fighting, and it's the rut and the mating season. He said, I would take axle grease and I would smear it over the head of the sheep so that when they run into each other, they just kind of glance off. And then he said they stand there kind of looking at each other dazed, and he said sometimes they even forget why they run into each other. He said because they have killed each other. Now when we read these things and we see how that David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And then we go into, thou anointest my head with oil. There's some practical things that I want us to see. I want us to bring it back to ourselves. Now, when we look at these parasites and these little worms and these flies. Now, folks, I know how aggravating these little black flies are. I know how aggravating no-see-ums are. I know how aggravating mosquitoes are. But if we take it to a practical spiritual application and we look at our lives and we look at ourselves and our relationship with God, I want to give you a couple of verses of scripture and I want you to think about these things. In Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. And then in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse number 1, it says, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly in him that is for in reputation for wisdom and honor. Sometimes what we need to be careful of as Christians and we're trying to stand for God, it's not the big thing. It's the little thing. You see, because we come in here and we love the Lord and we serve the Lord and we're not in danger of going down here and robbing Walmart. But be careful about Black Friday and getting in a fight. What causes us problems? It's the little things. I was coming home from work the other day and a guy come out in front of me and we were on a road, a 55 mile per hour road, and I don't really drive that fast. Matt will testify to it. He's passed me many times. But I was going down the road, and a guy pulled out in front of me, and I had to get on my brakes to slow down. Well, he stomped his brakes. I don't know what it was. But you know how it is when you feel like you get a fever all of a sudden? And you feel it right there? And I'm thinking, what's this all about? Now, I didn't know, folks, I did not back off and ram into him and knock him out of the road. But you've thought about that. And as I backed off and I thought about it and I thought about how much it upset me all of a sudden. Sometimes it's the little things that you have to be most conscious of in your walk with God that'll cause you to allow your emotions, your temper, whatever, to get you to the point that you're in the wrong place. And you know what works for me more than anything else? I need God's Holy Spirit, which is the oil is a type of the Spirit. I need it to be applied to my life so that I can live every day victorious the way God wants me to live it. You know why? Because you're going to run into these kind of problems. You're going to run into flies and people that come against you that are no more than a fly buzzing around you. You ever had anybody just annoying, 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 and you just want to squash them? Like a fly. But you have to have the Holy Spirit. You have to have God to come and just like this anointing on your head to give you strength and victory so you can make it through it. It's just like the scab. You know, the thing about the scab is the sheep would rub their heads together. Here's the way the scab works, and this is kind of something God showed me. You know, you bring one person into the house of God that's got a problem with everything. And they start complaining about this over here, and they start complaining about that over there, and they're just looking for somebody that'll listen. They're looking for somebody that'll talk to them about it. They're looking for somebody that'll complain with them. And then it begins to grow, and it grows to this one over here, and it grows to that one over there. Same thing. We need God's Holy Spirit to be in our midst and in our presence, to give us peace that passeth all understanding, so that we can dwell together in unity. You know, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And it says in Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, if you look at this scab, and let's compare that to ourselves. Folks, I want to tell you something. Sometimes I need God's Holy Spirit just to come on the scene and just calm me down. Just cleanse my heart and my mind. Help me find the place, Lord, that you want me to be. And folks, that's a place of spiritual maturity. You know, and I've thought a lot about spiritual maturity lately, and Miss Martha has given me some tapes of Pastor Quinn to listen to. I appreciate those, but I was listening to Pastor Quinn preaching about spiritual maturity in 2008 at Pleasant Grove. You know, when you've got it, there won't be a whole lot of that. There's not going to be a whole lot of spreading the bad, because the Holy Spirit covers it. And I need God's Holy Spirit to cover me. You know, and I'm going to be honest with you myself. And you say, well, you know, you're the pastor. What makes me different? I've been saved. I was lost. I got saved. I do believe you got to be called to preach, okay? I do. I don't think it's a career move. I think God has to put it on you. But folks, I'm not here because I've got it figured out. I'm here because the Lord. And there are times that I need a fresh anointing of His Holy Spirit to come on the scene and help me, to calm me, to comfort me, to give me victory, to speak to me and show me every little fox in my life that is not pleasing to Him. Every little thing. And here's how that I think that you find out that you're growing spiritually. It's when the little things matter to you. Now, I made a comment a while back. I was teaching over to the Sunday school class at Macklin. Matt might remember this. But I was talking about how God had disciplined me for something. And here's what it was. A grunt. What do you mean? There was a time when I heard a preacher, I was in church and he said something. And this is what I did. I went, hmm. Y'all know. I want you to know the Lord jumped on me. He got on me and he, you know why? And here, listen. Unto whomsoever much is given, much will be required of him. And I want to tell you something, folks. I praise God for that. I praise God for the fact that I'm there in my life. That just anything won't matter. It's not okay. And that it takes His Holy Spirit to be anointing upon my head and upon my life to keep all of those little things, those flies and all those pests in their place. Because without it, where would you be left to yourself? We need His anointing. We need His touch. And then what about the head button? Grease them down with axle grease. They hit each other, they glaze off. Sometimes people are going to hit you with things, even in the house of God, that you need to let it bounce off. You know, I've had people say things to me. It's, oh, did you hear what old so-and-so said about you? And they tell me, Sometimes I kind of laugh. What you going to do about it? Here's what you do about it. You let God handle it. Because the truth is, the truth could be that it's a whole lot worse, and it's only by the grace of God that it's not. And you don't chase tails. You let God have them, and you let God deal with them. Have you ever had a problem or a situation in your life that's just absolutely annoying you, and it's bothering you, and it's building up, and you feel like you've just got to deal with it? Here's what I've done. I say, Lord, I can't deal with this. I need you to apply the oil of your Holy Spirit to it and settle it. You know, doesn't mean God's going to solve the problem. Doesn't mean everybody's going to like you. But God, I want you to settle me. See, because, and I tell Matthew loves it when I say this. Because he wants to complain about this and complain about that. Here's what I tell him every time. Son, you can only be responsible for yourself. And if you're where you're supposed to be with God, God will get the glory for your life. Don't try to fix everybody else. Don't try to solve everybody else's problems. David said, thou anointest my head with oil. And then he said, my cup runneth over. Why does it run over? It's because, and this is something, I'm going to close, and this is something I wish everybody could get. When you get where you're supposed to be in your relationship with God, you will find contentment. And the reason sometimes people are not content has nothing to do with how much they have, but it has to do with where they're at. And I know I talk about my dad a lot, but that's my mentor. I learned that from him. I've never seen anyone sit down and eat fried potatoes, pinto beans, and cornbread and be so happy. I would be too after another tombstone pizza, Brother Tommy. You realize when we look, I'm going to have to close, but you realize when we look into God's word how much God cares for us. And when David began to say, the Lord is my shepherd, and he proudly began to proclaim it, it was because he understood how wonderful it was to be in the care of a shepherd, that no matter what situation I'm in my life, I know that he is looking out for my absolute best. And I'm glad that's our Lord, amen? Amen. Anyone have a word or anything you'd like to share with the church tonight?